The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 482. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And of course, Brian Manjoma.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right, we're back. Brian, good to have you back, brother. Hope you're well rested.
Thank you. Yes, very well rested.
All right, man. We don't know what's going on with Chris or Brett, so hopefully they'll show up. We actually did get a question specifically for Brett here, but we can answer it. It's like a non-denominational question, but it was specifically geared towards Brett. Okay, so we didn't get a lot of questions this week. I'm guessing it's because there's actually games to play. That usually happens. Like when there's games to play, there's less engagement with the throwdown. That means our fans are real gamers. Respect that. But because of that, since we have very few questions, the show may run a little low. So if anybody in the chat wants to ask us anything gaming related, feel free to do so. And also Mr. J Shep asked us four questions and we'll answer all four of them, you know, to make up for time. Anyway, let's get into it, man. So I'm just going to answer these in the order that we received them. Jolly Yellow Nerd starts us off. This one's a very interesting one. What are the differences between the different types of A game developers? As in, what makes a game developer A or AAA? And do AA and quadruple A even exist? If there is no industry standard answer, what is your answer? Manny, I kind of want you to answer this because you are in the industry or start off.
I mean, there is no such thing as quadruple A. There's no such thing. Wasn't it Ubisoft that made that term up referring to a fucking Sea of Thieves? No, there is no such thing. There's AAA development and then there's indie development. And then obviously the middle A, what they call middle A, but even that's not really an official term.
Yeah, but let's go with that because that's the real heart of the question. What is the differences between the A's, right? So now getting out of the way, A and quadruple A don't exist. Usually the terms you hear are indies, double A, and triple A. Those are kind of the accepted ones. So the one that we'll get to double A in a bit. Indies, to me, is pretty self-explanatory. It's generally a independently developed game, but the budgets could range. Like, for example, right? Okay, here's the thing. There's the traditional type of indie game you think of, low budget and all that, but technically, CD Projekt Red is indie. They fund their own shit. So there is a gap there, you know?
Also, theoretically, you could say Kojima Productions is also indie. Mm-hmm. But Ninja Theory could be considered indie, at least before they were acquired by Microsoft. Yeah.
I wanted to make that distinction. It's like generally, generally I know Brett doesn't like that word. Generally, indie games are like lower budget, but there are exceptions. You know, I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. Then obviously we go on to the AAA. We'll get to AA in a bit. To get to the AAA games, which are the huge, ultra crazy blockbuster games: Spider-Man, God of War, Uncharted, big blockbuster.
Halo,
all that. You could tell they poured hundreds of millions of dollars into the production. There are some cases, obviously, where a AAA game may not cost as much, but generally speaking, in the modern terms, they are the big, ultra crazy. You know a AAA game when you see one. You know it. Destiny, a classic example, $500 million, the most budget spent and all that. you know, we're not going to discuss whether they're making good use of that money. That's a whole other conversation that we've had before, but that's generally AAA. AA, you don't see as much anymore, but they were the main games that we got back in like the early 2000s and stuff, right? Like basically higher budget than an indie game, but not as crazy high budget as a AAA game. But they generally filled that niche that DVDs used to fill, kind of back in the day. It was like, or movies like Manny, what's the name of it? Oh my God, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Good Will Hunting. That's a middle movie, you know. And ironically, and we talked about this on the show, those kind of movies kind of don't exist as much as they used to. They're kind of like on Netflix now, ironically enough.
And even even Netflix doesn't really push any of those films.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah, in general, it's not the indie, but it's like more like a not such a big budget movie. I mean, officially, you would consider Judge Dredd that.
Yes.
It's not, didn't cost a lot of money, and it did what it needed to do. Let's see what other films would be considered.
But let's talk about games. I know we're going to go down that rabbit hole.
But yeah,
But Manny, here's a good question, though. What are some modern AA games? Because they're slightly hard to find. You know, they exist, though. Oh, go ahead, Carlos.
Propose my definition to see if you guys agree?
Okay.
Because this is how I've always defined it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I always thought AA games are from big publishers that use lesser funds to make games. I can't think of like independent games that are AA budget. They're just indie games to me.
Yeah.
But if it's a big publisher,
that's correct. That's correct. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So that's just how generally I've always thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Brett who just showed up.
What up, people?
Not much. So yeah, that's kind of the, I'm trying to give the more general, industry definition, but that's the way it kind of is. But as we've talked about many, many times on the show for many years now, things have kind of just been dominated by indies and AAA. The AA stuff, very few and far between nowadays,
And indie and AAA can coincide. They can be the same thing. It just depends. AAA is the only thing that makes AAA is the budget.
Yeah.
Like you guys mentioned, you can have Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is definitely a AAA game, but it's also an indie game.
Yeah, it's both.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, we made that distinction earlier on, yeah.
Yep, like Baldur's Gate 3, well over $100 million budget, but it's also an independent studio, so it covers both bases there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. There's wiggle room, but, you know, again, we're trying to stick with generalities there. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Do you guys have any, your own version of AA and AAA game? Because we just kind of gave the industry standard or whatever it would be. Go ahead, Brett.
I'm sorry, can you give me the technical question? I wasn't here when you asked.
Basically, Jolly Yellow Nerd wants to know, what is the difference between, an A game, a AA game, and a AAA game?
Okay, I have thoughts.
Yeah. So, and his question was specifically, what is the industry standard and what is your standard? So, feel free to, say whatever's on your mind about this.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I think that they're pretty similar. I think an A game is probably just a heavily indie game. It's a game usually most likely made by a single person, possibly a very, very small group or a couple people working together. Experimental, think like the size of a band. AA is usually without like the aid of external funding too much, in the sense that they didn't need to go to a publisher. This might mean that they have angel investors and they've invested their own money, or they've independently gone and found people who want to invest in the project. But they haven't had to reach out to and deal with a major publisher in order to get the game to market. Now, this is getting easier when you can do things like Steam. So I think this category is actually opening up quite a bit. And AAA games are games that are usually partially or completely funded by the publisher. Sometimes the development is done by a publisher-developer combo. That's when you get the budgets that are millions of dollars and have huge teams that are entire departments. I think the middle space is growing and it's getting more ambiguous, though, because we see double A studios. Like Larian Studios is probably pushing the bar of it, what a double A studio is, up further, because they're independent. They don't have shareholders that they're beholden to. They don't have a publisher that they're beholden to. They can just kind of make whatever they want. But they're a team of over 400 people, which, you know, by AAA standards, it's still not a lot. But, you know, compare that to the guy in his basement and his two buddies that are trying to make a Minecraft clone. That's still, it's a different world. But you compare that to Ubisoft or whatever that has 1,200 people or whatever working on a project and sinking millions of dollars into it. That is also a world above that 400 team studio. So I think while the lines themselves are kind of blurry, it's easy to pinpoint, like, okay, the top end, the top end, like Ubisoft, that's AAA. The top end of AA would be Larian. I would put Remnant in the AA category.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great games in the AA category. AA probably goes down to like a team of a couple, a dozen, maybe two dozen. Maybe some people went and they found somebody who has money or a relative, or they came across some money and they wanted to launch a little game, or they had a nest egg or something like that. Like, you know, that could be pretty big. And like, I think just an A developed game, I think we can all kind of tell that stuff. Don't get me wrong, I have a particular love for those games because you have the least amount of things by committee, right? When you get a game like Don't Starve, there's not enough people in it, I don't think, to kind of water down the direction of what they think that it should be. You can still see some of the very clear ideas. And I think Manny would probably be a good one to speak on this I think Manny would be a good one to speak on this because he's worked on projects both big and small. And I think without saying too much, he can probably attest to some of the creativity or some of the very independent ideas kind of get watered down when you get big teams and ideas change sometimes for the better. Sometimes, you know, the suits just don't agree with something. And so it gets watched. But like, I love some, you know, just straight up indie games because they haven't had that direction watered down. So I think we need to call the AA space something different though, because we've reached a point where like games like Remnant and Larian, and they're showing us that calling those games indie, not really true. Calling those games AAA, also actually technically not true. So I feel like we need a better name for them than indie. An indie is an A game. AAA game is a you know, major published game. What do we call a AA game other than a AA game? It sounds more like a battery than a type of game.
Yeah. I mean, they all sound like batteries if you think about it, you know?
This is true.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Have to come up with some. I kind of like that. It's like A games are basically indies. I kind of like that a lot because we don't say A games. We usually say indies, double A, triple A. So I'm like, so technically indies would be A then. So I'm gonna go with that definition. I like that. Chris, you have any thoughts on, you know, the question was, what are the different A's? And by the way, we discounted quadruple A. That's not a thing. Ubisoft, no, it's not happening. Shut up.
Take that, Ubisoft.
Yeah. Sorry, I was late. But what Brett said, I mean, was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, the major differences between the tiers, right? And I would just say there's no single A, it's just indie, right? I agree with him. Is budgets and reach, right? So, you know, indie developers, sometimes it's like a single person. So they have a low budget. They can explore any type of gameplay they want. And sometimes they go super niche, so they have niche appeal instead of like going for broad appeal, right? So so that you have this unrestricted creativity and all that stuff, but you have a low scope, meaning you have to have a smaller game, and you know, and try to hit a certain market. Whereas AAA, they try to cast a wide net, hit as many people as possible in a genre, right? They're going for a genre appeal, not niche appeal. So like Call of Duty, you know, they're going for the war guys, whatever, or Madden, You know, you hit the guys who just play that, and you know, you got it's niche in that respect, but it's a broader appeal, right? It's not, people like sports games, and AAA games have huge budgets, right? You know, we've talked about some of the budgets, like Destiny and Anthem. All these games have enormous budgets, and the teams are huge, right? It's like not one, it's like sometimes hundreds of people. So that's where I see most of the difference, right, is the scope and scale and the type of creativity. AAA games can't take risks too much, right? Which is why I always make the Applebee's comment, you get more of the same, right? So they're risk averse. Whereas in the indie games and even AA games, they'll take more risks because they'll explore more creativity. Hey, we haven't tried this type of gameplay, or we haven't tried this type of story, or we haven't explored this type of kind of action adventure story or mythology or whatever. They'll dive into all this stuff. Indie guys more so, but AAA guys, they won't take too much risk, right? Oh, people like zombies, put a zombie mode in Call of Duty and we'll call it a day, you know? So that's the big difference I see.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. And Brett is here, so I'm going to throw this question to you, but obviously we could all chime in because this one's specifically for you, Brett. This is from Jay Shep. What are your thoughts on BlizzCon 2024 being canceled?
I mean, initially, good. you know, Blizzard's in a rough space, man. Like, it's Diablo was their real last hurrah, and they had it. It was a slam fucking dunk, and they somehow got to the point where they publicly showed that their developers didn't even know how the game worked or how to play it. I mean, down to, you know, to auto attack, you hold down the mouse button. The developers of the game, the people who designed the dungeons, when playing the dungeons, were still clicking their mouse buttons to attack every single time. Which anybody who's played it, you're like, oh my fucking God, please stop that. It's super annoying. But then even beyond that, you're like, oh, Brett, like maybe that's just the way they like to play. Okay. External person that I've completely made up for the purpose of this argument. How about this then? They had skill trees made entirely of basic skills, the one that build your energy so that you can then use your core skills to execute those energies in synergies and combos. And you're supposed to kind of have one that kind of builds into a tree of different options. They had just all four of the basic ones mapped. So it was just nothing but the basic attacks. So, like, it was very, very clear that they didn't know how to play. And how the hell that got through quality assurance and onto the fucking internet, I'll never know. Like, I don't know what is going on over there. If you don't know what's going on that much, don't put those people. Like, how do you not know your people don't know how to play video games? Like, your video game, not just video games, but your video game. It's too much. Right. And every time we hear from Blizzard, it's some stupid fucked up bullshit. It is always bad news. And so I don't think they really have anything to show at BlizzCon other than their complete incompetence and failure. Like, and do you really want to go out there and highlight that, show that off, bring out a fucking band to play tunes so that everybody knows how fucking sad you are? It's what's the point, man? What's the point? You can spend money so everybody knows how terrible you are. They'd be like Wizards of the Coast going on and like going to their convention now. Like, oof, that shit is going to be rough.
Ooh.
You have nothing but L's to post and nothing but L's in your recent history. You got no reason for anybody but haters to even fucking show up to the party at this point.
Okay, because I didn't know about this story until we got the question. So apparently Blizzard says that it's still excited as ever to bring BlizzCon back in future years.
Then why the fuck is it canceled? Because you don't have nothing.
I agree.
You got nothing.
Yeah, it says, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon 2024.
Yeah, because you're fucking, they were relying so heavily on the after seasons of Diablo. Like, they're like, okay, the initial launch of Diablo, not great. But we can pull out of this notes that we did that with Diablo 3. And they gave them such a sense of confidence because they had fucked up before, but they managed to unfumble the ball somehow, right? So, like, they just kind of assumed that Diablo 4 can also have a disastrous launch, and we'll call the player base back. But guess what? You haven't. The player base hasn't come back. And, oh, what's that? Oh, Age of Exiles 2 is coming. it was just an expansion. It was just an update to the game that was already coming. It's going to be a free update, a little bit of graphical overhaul, and they're just kind of calling it Age of Exiles 2. But no, no. After the disastrous failure of Diablo, they stepped up and they went, you know what? Fuck that. Whole new game. They called your bluff and saw your failure. That is bad. I have not seen a company fumble their most like profitable property so fucking bad. Like I think there is a bit of like the community hates you right now. I guess is just the nicest way, not the nicest, the most direct way to put it. The community hates you right now. Why the fuck would you have a community appreciation anything? They don't like you. They actively despise you. And the minute you try and do anything to try and go against that, the internet is just going to meme you to fucking death. It's a no-win situation. You shouldn't be happy and excited to come back next year. And they're not. That's just corporate garbage.
Oh, talk. No, Brett, they said in future years. So to me, that's like a cop-out. It's like, we'll come back when people care, you know? So they're not committing. They're not committing. They said in future years. They didn't say 2025.
We'll come back when we have something. And, of course, this all could be a sign of deep restructuring being done by Microsoft after the acquisition.
Yeah. But I got to throw this at you because I'm reading this article. You know what makes this even worse? This year is the 20th anniversary of World of Warcraft and no BlizzCon.
Because they ain't got nothing, man.
Yeah, they claim they're going to do some smaller events. But I'm like, for a while, you aren't holding your biggest event?
Oh, my God. It's the first time I've been able to say this. You ready?
Yeah.
They got to have nothing.
There you go, man. Very interesting. So thanks for asking Jay Shep. What's up, bro?
I'm not sure if this matters. I watched all of Fallout now, so throw questions at me.
There you go. All right, guys. You already know. All right, next one here. Chris, I kind of want you to lead this one off because you know more about this stuff than we do. With the new U.S. law passed, and TikTok banned in the U.S., do you guys see this law affecting Chinese-owned or partially-owned video game publishers like Tencent?
I don't see this specifically affecting Tencent. I mean, this is specifically about the owners of TikTok divesting their assets in it, which is probably not going to happen. So I think the CEO of TikTok already said that wasn't happening. So they're going to fight it in court, and there's going to be a big legal battle over this whole bill. So we'll see what happens. It might get banned if they lose because they're not taking the option of divesting. There's too much money involved. Now, to the question of Tencent, I don't see how this seems to be only really affecting social media and... You know, it's interesting timing in all of this, but really the only guys who are going to get a windfall from this is Meta and other social media platforms. Probably not so much X, but Meta definitely would get a nice windfall off of this from people moving their video platforms. And with Tencent and other Chinese companies, since they're mostly involved in video games, I don't see this affecting them, right? I don't know. I didn't read the full bill, so I don't know exactly what else it affects. I know it says it's some vagary with it stating websites and other online content. So you could say like, oh, that could affect games, but then it could affect any game, not just Chinese owned properties. I don't see this being a problem for them offline. So the only guys I see a problem is TikTok itself, is those guys divesting. And they're not going to divest. They already said they're going to fight it in court. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the way I'm taking this, like the unasked version of this question, I'm sorry, J-Shep, if I'm assuming here, but this is the way I kind of took the question. It seems like it's assuming that the government's going after TikTok because it's Chinese-owned. No, it's not because of that. It's and Chris, you correct me if I'm wrong about this. Isn't it more about national security worries, among other things? Tencent is not a national security risk, at least in the government's eyes. So it's not about that. Yeah. You know,
in terms of games that Tencent produces, collecting user data, that's a lot different than TikTok collecting data that may be on that maybe government employees or whatever have it on their phones and worried about that data then being stored on Chinese servers, and if they have any sensitive data going over there. So that's really what the, on the surface, that's what the bill's about, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that leaking yet. So Tencent doesn't have that concern. They don't care about our data. But if with government employees' data being possibly siphoned off through the app, or somebody making a video or something in a sensitive area where they shouldn't be, that becomes a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just wanted to be clear. It's not, hey, they're going after them because they're Chinese-owned. It's not about that, you know?
Well, it kind of is, because they said that the only way to resolve this is if you sell to an American company.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not going to go after all Chinese companies now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really about that.
It's just TikTok.
Yeah.
The social media brands. I mean, they've been going after Meta and Facebook for a while now. But they're not laying the hammer on them, because they're just as much of a risk as you know TikTok is. But
they're not worried about them. The Chinese government getting their hands on that data.
Well, exactly. that's where the Chinese part comes.
Yeah.
In.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's that connection. But I'm just saying, Tencent isn't on your. There's no phone app for Tencent. You know what I'm saying? So the concern is a little different. But you're right, Carlos. That, you know, it is that Chinese connection there for sure. Right.
So
and Bruce Lee reference not intended.
Well,
Chinese connection? Nobody? Come on, guys.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
So just to go off of what Chris mentioned, yeah, I don't see Tencent being affected by it. I think one of the biggest gaming publishers that Tencent kind of owns is Epic. They don't own Epic completely, but
they own a lot of them. Yeah,
they own a lot of it, and Epic is, I guess, it's considered an American company. So you know, and that way, I mean, Tencent owns a lot of companies like in similar ways. They don't really own like outright and release games like that. At least from what I know.
Yeah. All right, man. Good stuff. Another one from Mr. J. Shep. This is a hypothetical one. Looking at Microsoft's financials from last quarter, what direction do you think Xbox would have taken if Microsoft had been unsuccessful in acquiring Activision Blizzard? So, yeah, like we talked about on the Thursday show, basically the Xbox division, you know, the reason their revenues were up so much is because of the acquisition. If it wasn't for that, the revenues would have been down for gaming. And as we saw, their console sales are plummeting, you know. So, yeah, he's just asking what would have happened had they not acquired Activision Blizzard.
It depends on what they had in development. I mean, to be honest, I feel like they're definitely, their console division would have seen its final days, and they would have probably gone full into the whole
cloud,
you know, just the cloud service, because they're not officially, they're not officially making consoles. They're not paying in that money. And the other part of it is, it's also like, again, like, I think they would have went full force into the software range, possibly, you know, having Xbox applications running on the ones on their tablet. I don't know, but I think they would have divested a lot of that, the physical part of Xbox.
Well, Manny, I mean, you messaged us earlier today that you guys installed Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what comes preloaded with Windows 11?
Xbox. Yep.
Xbox. Yep.
You get an Xbox with every copy of Windows 11 that you got out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And every single time, you know, unless you unclick it, from the startup, Xbox app is one of the first ones that always runs. Yeah.
It's always running.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I don't really, you know how I feel about hypotheticals. I don't really need to go into that.
I mean, again, what could they have done? Well, we're only limited by the things that we sort of know and the little bit of tea leaves that we have with it, right?
Yeah, it's a hard one to answer. Time, yeah,
it's definitely a hard one to answer. But I definitely think they would have divested a lot of that stuff. They would have just ended a lot of the programs. Maybe it wouldn't have been right away, but it would have probably been a little, slowly but surely, and really fully focusing on the service.
Yeah.
You know, even if they didn't have any of those things. But I also think that also if they weren't able to get that at least the act, what was it, the Activision acquisition?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one he's talking about.
They had already acquired a bunch of, you know, companies already.
Yeah, no, so but the heart of the question is, like, he's basically saying, because remember how, again, during the financials, that the gaming revenue went up because of that. So obviously it would have been down, you know, as he, you know, if you take all that away, it would have been down. That's not hypothetical. That's exactly what would have happened. They did the numbers. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying if Microsoft's revenue, you know, Xbox's revenue, gaming revenue was down and its console sales were down this year, what would they have mm-hmm. done? That's the kind of the heart of the question there.
Yeah, I probably would have done that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they would definitely lean more into it for sure. I agree. They're already leaning into it with the deal going through. They're already leaning into it. You know how many mm-hmm. games they was it seven game? I know there's a caveat here, people, but seven Microsoft games are currently top sellers on PlayStation. I know there's a big, huge caveat with that. You know, but still, it would have looked worse than it is now. That's for sure. You know. Mm-hmm. A couple of things there, Alex M. I will add your question here, sir. So thank you for that. And Big Daddy X, what's going on, brother? Some YouTube love. You already know, man. Good stuff. All right, and the last three questions of the night here. Again, unless you guys have any more, actually all about Stellar Blade, people, which I'm assuming a lot of you guys are playing right now, is because that's why you're not on the podcast right now hanging out with us. Like I said, when there's games out, we don't really get a big audience. Because, you know, we got true gamers, fans. They're going to listen to us at work, though. All right, man. This one's another kind of hypothetical. But it's also kind of personal, I guess. How many copies of Stellar Blade need to sell in order for the game to be successful?
It depends on the budget,
yeah,
to be honest. Like, and, I mean, I don't imagine that the title was very expensive.
Yeah.
Especially just judging by the size of Shift Up and the fact that they're working directly with Shuhei Yoshida, which is their indie, which is PlayStation's indie division. So I suspect that they don't have they have a decent sized team, but I don't think it's like Kojima size, or I think they don't have a huge team, and I don't think the budget for Stellar Blade was that insane.
Yeah, compared to, you know, the Western counterparts. Yeah, the question is specifically, what would you consider a success? What I consider success doesn't fucking matter. What do they consider a success, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, it all really depends on what it costs to make the game, what their operating budget on the game, was on the game, and all that sort of stuff. If the game was a bit of a lower budget title, then the success meter would have probably gets lowered. I would say, you know, if we're talking films, you at least want to have a good portion over the actual budget that it, you know, the budget and marketing, but you know, budget and marketing budget in order to call something a success. I don't know how many copies that would be for Stellar, because we don't know how much it costs to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, is it safe to say if they sell 10 million, that's definitely a success?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to go, this is where I was going to go with, because, and Brian, you could correct me on this. Isn't Sony's magical number 5 million? That's where they start tweening. It's 5 billion or so, right?
Around that mark.
Yeah. So I think you consider that a success, you know? And Carlos, you're right too. 10 million, obviously. Like, I want to see the game that comes with, that sells 10 million, it's considered a flop. I don't think that's happened yet, you know.
Probably Square one of these days,
you know.
Any one of the Square games, right?
Oh, Carlos, I'm glad you bring those up. If this game sells 5 million, if it, let's just say hypothetically, it was developed by Square Enix, they would have considered that a failure.
Oh yeah.
You know,
most definitely.
If this game sells 5 million, Sony is going to be shouting that shit from the rooftops. I guarantee you that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, you know, again, just to answer a question, I'm going to say 3 to 5 million minimum.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like the budget is pretty decent, but it's not something like crazy. So, you know, sometimes you can tell just, you know, from the way that it looks, the way that, you know, 3 to 5 seems safe. It seems like, yeah, like we made more money than we spent on it.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, so that's my gut, 3 to 5 million. We'll see if what happens this week, because obviously if it does well this week, Sony will be tweeting about it. But if it doesn't, they won't be tweeting about it. they haven't tweeted about Horizon Forbidden West yet, you know?
No.
Well, whatever are you talking about, Tony?
Oh, man. Anybody else want to take any guesses here?
I'm going to go with a slightly different answer. Yeah. I say anything above 1 million, I would consider that to be a success. Because again, this is a developer who, if I'm not mistaken, this is their first console game.
This is the first AAA console game, yeah.
Because the last game that I'm aware of is a mobile game. So mm-hmm. hence,
yeah, they're mostly a mobile different space.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
See, Brian, so, I wanted to say a million myself, but I'm wondering, would Sony consider that a success?
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just think like a million is a decent amount, just based on the experience and just their history. As you said, like if the game does sell really well, then we will hear about it. If not, then we won't hear about it.
I will give you a Miss Cleo award if they come out this week saying that it, you know, celebrating that it sold a million. Because I could see that. It's possible. You know, it's possible. All right, good stuff. All right, another one about Stellar Blade. This one's controversial, people. You know, because obviously this is Stellar Blade. This is from Kishak, and I'm going to read this just as he wrote it. You know, these are his obvious thoughts here. Have you guys seen the petition by the grifter Mark Kern, a.k.a. Grums, about the censorship of Stellar Blade and particularly about its outfits? It's probably the saddest thing you'll see on the internet so far. There are videos on the petition website of guys uploading their quote-unquote concern about censorship, and you can tell that these guys have probably never interacted with a woman before. This has completely taken over the discourse of the game itself on YouTube and Twitter, and it's just sad. So that's how he feels about it. So yeah, you can't get away from this controversy. That's all I've been seeing on my timeline as well, on YouTube as well. So here's my thing. Typically I would be like, I don't want to answer this, but I'm kind of coming at it from two angles, so I feel safe giving my answer here. While I'm with the spirit of what these guys are trying to do, the spirit of it, I think they're going about it all wrong. As I've said many times on this show, petitions are a waste of time. They don't fucking work. And here's the thing. And Rich, you could help me with this one. Okay, the quote-unquote censored costumes that you see, they were already there weeks ago, right? What happened is, because Rich and I, we got the digital code of this game, right? The costumes that are quote-unquote censored, they're the only ones I know. I've never seen the uncensored ones. So the uncensored ones are basically from the physical unpatched version, right? So it seems to me that these changes were made before any of this controversy. They were, because again, these costumes already existed. You know, the one that, you know, kind of covers up the boob windows and stuff, those are already there. So I'm guessing it, you know, I don't obviously know the answer to this, but it could be that Shift Up themselves decided we want to censor these, quote unquote censor these. Could have been Sony too, but we don't know that, right? So I think these guys are coming at it from a place of misinformation. They don't have all the details. And I'm surprised that more journalists haven't said, hey, by the way, these costumes were already in place when we got our codes, you know? But again, I agree with the spirit of it, because I don't think a game that was billed as uncensored, remember they were splashing that all over the place, this game is uncensored, and then they censored shit, right? Seemingly, we don't know if it was, it could have been artistic thing, could have been like, okay, we want to calm this
uncensored
down, you know,
the uncensored bit is, and that has nothing to do with the actual outfit, it actually has to do with the gore of the game.
Yeah, the gore, and that's obviously not been affected.
That has not been affected.
Yeah. But I also do, you know, and I said this on the Thursday show, I do sympathize with some people calling out you know, the apparent hypocrisy here, where you have games that have full frontal nudity, full on sex, sometimes sex with animals, and those are fine. But this game, no fucking sex at all in this game. Eve doesn't even like kiss, like none of that happens. Spoiler alert, nothing that happens. So, but it gets called out. So I understand that, but I think the dude signing these petitions, I'm sorry, that's just stupid. Petitions never work. It's dumb in gaming. Maybe they've worked in other things, but all the positions I've seen in gaming generally don't fucking work, you know?
I mean, I think the thing about it is when it comes to certain bits of censorship, I think it also has to do with context.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Abby having sex, when you look at the sex scene that's happening in the Order of 1886 and you see the dude's balls and the lady's the boobs, right? Those sequences are not supposed to be titillating or sexy. And I think that's the big difference. That is why I think that's part of the reason why I think a lot of times these companies might get a little bit gun shy, especially if you have an obviously attractive looking lady that's, you know, in other words, displaying their attractiveness.
Yeah.
And that's why these things are part of the reason why a lot of these things get edited and changed, because no company wants to be known as a pornographer.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I, you know, again, this is just me just talking. I wouldn't be surprised if Shift Up themselves go, Westerners are a little skittish about this stuff. Let's tone it back a little bit. And I wouldn't blame them. I wouldn't blame them, because that's just kind of a prevailing thing. Just to get a little personal, right? And I've said this before, you know, I'm currently writing some stories, right? Every time I write a really violent action scene, I don't think twice. I go crazy with the violence. But anytime there's any kind of sex scene, that's where I'm like second guessing myself, because I know someone's going to get mad. They're going to get more upset over the sex scene over than somebody getting ripped in half. You know, and that's just a Western thing. Like, it's not like that in other parts of the world, you know, like sex is, you know, okay in other parts of the world, but the violence they don't like, you know?
Like, in other words, in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously the Zero rating, I think that's what it is.
Zero, called. Yeah.
They're very strict on acts of violence. Officially to the point where Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker, which, by the way, it is the anniversary of Peace Walker.
Oh, shit. Let's go.
That game got an alternate version of it in Japan because they couldn't, even though it was a T14 game here in the States, the Japanese didn't like the torture that he was going through, and they were going to give it their version of the M for Mature just for that. Even though there's no blood, there's no, there's no overt violence in that game. You know, not overt violence, but there's not graphic violence. It's all like, you know, it's all pretty much T stuff. So yeah, they changed it because of that. Kojima has mentioned multiple times that he've had to edit things in Metal Gear in order for them to be, for the Zero rating, you know, to approve it, which means, which leads me to believe. So these edits that were done to the game before launch, right? Those could be region related.
Yeah, they could be. We don't know that, but it could be.
Like, in other words, if you have your version of Stellar Blade in region A, which I guess is the United States or any of the Western countries, the game might look slightly different than it does in other countries. There is a possibility of that.
Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
However, that would go against the message that they were touting, that it was uncensored in all regions.
If you read his tweet, he wasn't talking about the censorship of sexuality. It's the censorship of violence. So officially, he is right. The game is uncensored when concerning violence.
Yeah, but you understand the optics of it too, though.
Oh yeah, because definitely the optics. When you say the game is uncensored
and it's obviously a bit altered,
then it's obviously censored. But if you look at his tweet, he's talking about the violence, the dismemberment in the game, and that.
Well, what about the outfits that were in the physical version versus the digital version?
Yeah, but like I said, those outfits were already, like I said, I've never seen those outfits because I had the digital version. So, which leads, I could be wrong about this, obviously, which leads me to believe it was shift up going, we're just going to change this before release, you know? Because yeah, remember, the changes didn't come when the controversy started. They were already in place, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't know that. Go ahead.
They definitely have a bit of time. I mean, when it comes to the development of that game, you know, they definitely have a bit of time between it gets to you as a reviewer and when they have to submit it for to be printed as a disc.
Yeah, gold.
So there might be a slight difference between them.
Yeah, Rich, what's up?
So I would like to make a comment officially here tonight on the Throwdown.
Uh-oh.
I'm a fan of the violence in the game. You know, this is what we call grown man gaming, right? So obviously I don't have any issue with it, but for those that do have an issue with that, it is what it is. I do agree with what you said, Tony. I don't believe the petition will work. But the other thing I wanted to say about this game is the controversy behind it. I think it's very unfortunate because you saw, but even before this game came out, you had other reputable sites, one site in particular that has a branch in France, already talking trash about this game, saying the sexualized doll, and not knowing a damn thing about the history of the game, the people working on the game, or what the actual game is. So I am annoyed about that because there are some people that are looking at this game. They saw the reviews last week, you know, and I do want to say you made a very good point, Tony, which I laughed at. A lot of reviewers, you could tell they wanted to hate this game, but they all were saying, you know, it's a good game, but finding excuses. So yeah. I do think it's unfortunate with the controversy because it may deter some people from checking out the game. But as I said on Thursday's show, people need to play the game for themselves to see this is actually a really good game. And I would argue it's definitely, in my opinion, one of the best surprises that Sony has had this year in terms of it being a console game on PS5. It's not a remake like Final Fantasy Remake. There's no shade to that. But this is a new franchise if they decide to make other games. So it's unfortunate that it's in this light with the controversy stuff.
Yeah. Chris, what are your thoughts, man? I know you've been seeing this shit.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree with you. Petitions don't work. And it's a waste of time and energy for that stuff. I don't I've seen Grom's tweets. I don't think he's a grifter because
I don't think so either.
I would argue where is he making money off of this? I don't see it. I mean, it's like you could say he's cloud chasing, but I don't see him grifting. He's just, people have strong opinions on this, and I wouldn't use reductive arguments like everybody who's mad about this never touched a woman in their life.
Stupid,
I would avoid reductive arguments like that. You don't know anybody else's life. It's that people are upset that they were paying for one thing, and I don't care if they wanted a sexualized thing or whatever. If that's what they were advertised, and then what you get is censored, then I can understand that they're upset, right? Or they like want a refund or whatever. If you feel that strongly, hey, whatever, you know, that's capitalism. That's how it works. It's like, hey, I paid for this. I didn't get what I was advertised. I want my money back. Okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. You know, I bought the digital version. I see the same things that they show online and went, eh, because the game itself is great. Like, I could just enjoy it. So I don't care about any of that stuff. Some people feel strongly about that. And that's freedom, baby. If you don't like it, don't buy it. That's simple. And they did. They, you know, you vote with your wallet. That's how you affect change. That's where you affect real change. You don't go sign a petition. That's meaningless, right? And what Grums was arguing was don't refund the game. Don't hurt Shift Up for this. He said, cancel your PSN, which some people are doing, right? Because they're stupid. Putting the blame at Sony's feet. But I mean, if Sony is going to push this, because I see the thinking on some, so I've seen some people say, like, hey, if Sony can affect this kind of change, then they will just keep pushing for more and more censorship and more things, except where they want to be, you know, where the things they want to do. So like Tony said, Last of Us having a sex scene or whatever, or Baldur's Gate, that's fine. You know, Jin's bare ass is fine, but don't show sexualized women. That's bad. You know, And it's like, well, no, this is ridiculous. It's either all or nothing. Either you, it's all on the table or take it all off the table, right? And people can buy whatever they want. They get guilted into playing or not playing a game one way or the other. So I agree with the points made, but I just would say you don't know why people are angry at this, or don't make assumptions about people, yeah. Right? And, you know, just enjoy games or whatever.
Before the next person goes, just because I need to jump on that point, Chris. Yeah, because when you make those kind of assumptions, you're going to look just as stupid as that writer from IGN who said that developer had never seen a woman and he's never touched a woman. And then pictures of his hot wife came out who worked on the game. So, yeah, don't make assumptions, man. Go ahead, whoever wants to go next.
Yeah, I just was going to throw in real quick the last point that Chris made about the people that see this comparison, make these comments. The funny thing about the people who are talking about the character is over-sexualized. As we spoke about on Thursday's show, Eve is very self-aware that she's not trying to be sexy, not looking for any type of relationship. You know, we talked about when you go to the shop,
yeah,
and you can see that the woman is hitting on her, and she's like, oh, she doesn't want to have anything to do with that. And then there was another scene I recall where Eve doesn't like swimming, and she makes a comment about, oh, I don't like to get wet. I do not want to get wet. So it's kind of like it's a joke, but the character is very self-aware that she is not trying to even think about love, sex, any of that other stuff. But it's funny that people see this and instantly they're thinking about this enough to say, okay, we have to make this a big controversial thing. So
she's not like a Bayonetta. She's not like aware of how sexy she is. And she's not using it, you know, like, you know, obviously it's for Bayonetta. It's almost like a joke that she's, you know, that she's not what she knows. Right.
You know, Rich, that's a good point. The only person in the game that even points out that she's hot is the shop owner, you know?
Yeah.
And Eve's like, you better stop talking to me like that. You know, she says, like, don't talk to me like that, you know? Hell, the only time like Eve even is concerned about her looks is when she's like, what do you mean my hair looks dull? Can you make my hair look better? You know, to the hairstylist. Yeah. That's literally the only time. So I'm like, that shit is tame, man. Like, obviously the fucking developers knew what they were doing with all those ass shots, obviously. But like within the actual game itself, there's no sexualization. There's no relationship stuff. There's no, you know, there's no bears getting fucked. None of that stuff is in the game, you know? Hey, I'm sorry, and I have to do this every single time we talk about this controversy, right? I said on Thursday show, and I said in a previous show, right? Again, I find it very funny that IGN France writer said that stuff when he looks like a guy who hasn't touched a woman in a while. Maybe that's a sin too, but I'm just saying, bro. You know, maybe you shouldn't be talking all that shit. Very, very insulting what that guy did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
half-ass apology he did after that. You know? Yeah, okay,
and then,
bro.
And then the other thing about it is, like, you see this happening, or you see people, these guys doing this stuff, and they're not like, you know, it just seems so weird how very heavy handed people are, you know, certain people are when it comes to people from Asia. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've noticed for over a decade now, longer, you know,
you'll
even.
You're literally seeing, like, you know, browbeating people from there because their games are a lot more to the point and are more for, a lot of times end up being, you know, targeting specific audiences that like that sort of thing. But yet in all, the people come down on them. It's like they're looking for a specific audience that probably isn't you. Why do you need to comment on this?
It's a good point. Yeah, it's crazy, man. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
Yeah. So I think, again, what I think is, again, this is unfounded. So I have to put that out there first, I guess, that potentially this is as Sony trying to interfere with things, and which I believe is very fascinating. Because if the version on the disc didn't have any of this, then as Tony said, this must have happened between when the disc was made and post launch, which, as far as I'm concerned, that's when Sony can have their say about yes or no, and that's when the whole certification process would happen. So what I believe is Sony did see a few things and say, okay, you know what, we can't have this. And the thing that really gets me, the thing that is evident of this is the fact that the censorship or the alterations, let's call them that, I guess, the alterations all seem to be the same thing, in that it's covering up the cleavage, which is, again, which we've seen and with other games. So to me, that does indicate that this is Sony trying to interfere. Why they're doing this? It could be because of their own ideas or their own process or something. I have no idea. But to me, it indicates that this is Sony interfering. And why they're interfering, I have no idea either. But I'm more on the side of, I don't think this was Shift Up's decision to make. And we'll just see what happens. And the whole thing with Mark Kern and whatnot, I think it's fascinating that he seems to be the only one that's actually documenting this.
Yeah.
Like, none of the actual journalists are doing anything, because obviously they would rather not do this for various reasons. So I think it's fascinating how we actually have a person who's willing to take his own time out to actually document and investigate these things, whereas the people that we call journalists aren't doing that, you know. So that's also quite fascinating. Again, you can agree with them or disagree with them. I think that's irrelevant. You know, like, if there was someone else from IGN doing this, I'd say, okay, cool, someone is actually investigating this and, again, getting to the bottom of things. But they're not. I for one, chances are I'll just buy the physical edition, because I honestly do not agree with this, because I think it's just nonsense. Again, as we've said many times, it's one of these weird Western sensibilities where you can rip off a guy's head and shove it down his neck, that's fine. But yeah, the second you show a boob window, everyone just falls over and dies, you know. It's very strange. It's like, it's boobs, like they are natural, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Janet Jackson.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Janet Jackson. Oh my God, that nipple slip and the country loses its mind.
Yeah, it's, I just, again, I still just find it very strange how that's a thing, but okay, again, nothing that we can do. Regarding the petition, I totally understand what Tony's coming from. Petition, chances are it won't change anything, but I believe the idea is just to highlight it and to show people that that's not what the people want, that's not what the fans want, and I believe that's the point of the petition. Whether or not it achieves that, we'll see. Because again, Sony or Shift Up can just turn around and say no. You know, you know, they can just turn around and just ignore it. So that's also the other point. So I don't know how far that will go. But the fact that I think last I seen it was at 30,000 people that have signed it. It's a decent amount of people. It's not nothing. So there's still people that definitely don't like these changes, so we'll see. And to be honest, like, the sad fact is, if this wasn't the main controversy, then the other controversy would just be that Eve is too sexy. So if I'm being honest with you, I'd rather take this as the controversy rather than having to deal with, oh my gosh, it's sexualized characters and blah blah blah. It's like, no, in the ideal world, I'd have zero controversy, but if I'm going to have to pick one of the two, I'd pick the one that's slightly less stupid. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I want to jump on two things you said, because I think they're worth kind of expanding on. I said it could have been Shift Up making changes, but as you said, it also could have been Sony. And there's reason to believe that. Remember, Sony, there's a history of them censoring Japanese games before they come here, where you basically have one game that's available on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch in some cases. Xbox and Switch version, no censorship whatsoever. And like Brian, like you said, usually the boob area, everything's fine. But then with the PlayStation version, censored. So that's why I also don't think I don't think they're wrong to believe that, because there's history of it. And then what you said about Mark Kern, isn't that interesting? Like, say what you will about the guy, he is being very thorough about this. He's doing a pretty good job documenting this stuff, but you don't really see a lot of actual journalists doing it. So you could at least give him credit for that. He is, whether you agree with him or not, he is documenting all this stuff very thoroughly, you know, which is very interesting.
Well, you know why.
I remember one company, what they did was they to essentially uncensor the game. They had like a DLC that you could get, you could not get, but like you could download to fix it, right? And then like, how come, you know, in these situations, they don't give the player the option to opt in or out of it?
Yeah, I don't know.
If this is something that specifically disturbs the an individual, just like how, you know, even for mature games, you could turn off the blood.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, if this is something that seriously bugs you, then why can't this be, there be an option that allows you to remove it if you don't, you know, like, if you don't want to see, if seeing cleavage is an issue for you, then yeah, you can turn the thing, or turn off the slider, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, Carlos, you want to say something?
Can I just jump in just quickly?
Oh, go ahead,
Manny. Right, yeah. I 100% agree with you. As you know, I'm a big fan of having options where you can just say on or off. So I definitely agree with that as an idea. And in the grand scheme of things, you have the biggest option of them all, which is just not playing it, you know. So that's also like a valid option, I guess. But yeah, I totally agree. I think that should be the case where the option is in the person that's playing the game, where they can say, okay, you know what, I don't want to see boob window, so boob window off. And there we go. Again, there's already quite a few games.
We got dick sliders, right? So why not? So,
yeah. I mean, there's already games where you can turn off the gore or turn off the blood. So again,
off the penises. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Have a conservative mode, I guess. You know, where it's like, okay.
There is that. Just put her in that teddy bear costume. There you go. You know, covers up everything.
You call it the modesty option, right?
Yeah. Carlos, you going to say something?
Yeah. There's two things. I think it was you, Tony, who asked the questions like, why aren't other gaming journalists? Doing the same. And I think.
By the way, I know the answer. I'm just not going to say it. I do know the answer.
Well, I'll answer it. Maybe it's a different one than yours, or maybe it's the same. It's a two-facet thing. Number one, most gaming journalists don't have the backbone to back anything. they're scared of losing access. They're scared of looking like gaming deviants, and they're just following the herd to, you know, the gaming journalist status quo. That's what most gaming journalists do.
Oh, well, Carlos, that was my answer, by the way. My answer. So, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, that's literally it. They don't want to be ostracized. Think about it like this, right? Sorry, Carlos, because we literally had articles saying, I like this game, but I can't wholeheartedly agree with it because of that. You know, that's them saving face. They don't want to be ostracized by their peers, but they still like the game. You know, it's like very people actually, I don't think I've heard anyone criticize the gameplay. They've criticized the sexy costumes, or they criticize the story, they criticize the characters. Very few people have criticizing the actual gameplay. Even people who literally say, I want to not like this game, but I can't deny it. You know? So yeah, there is that element. Anyway, go on. What's the second point?
And number two, the underlying thing that what's the name of the dude that's actually going after this? Grums. The way that it looks from a 100-mile point of view, looking into this whole situation, it looks like just a dude advocating for more boobs. and I mean, and obviously that's not just it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, in precedence with censorship and stuff, but if you're looking at it from that point of view, and you're trying to sell what you're advocating for, it's a really hard sell to a mass audience.
Yeah, and like I said, man, it's like the petition stuff is so weak. I'm sorry, but that's been my position. That's been my position on petitions my entire life. You know.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, the controversy continues. Barry Burton, what's going on? Anyone remember Overwatch Buttgate? Yeah, I remember. I do remember that.
We did it. We even have a thumbnail for that one.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you made a thumbnail with
Tracer,
for it.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, apparently having curvaceous bodies on characters is not a good thing, apparently.
Yeah, but bear sex is okay. And
yeah,
and whatever that sex scene with Abby was, that's okay.
I mean, the thing again, like I think when it comes to the bear thing, that's a joke, obviously.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably why they're getting away. But then again, I think also that game is not afraid to do any of that. I think you can have naked characters running around in that game too. But you know,
by the way,
I think,
to be clear, I'm not against any of that stuff. If you want to have it in your game, you go right ahead, bro. You do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't criticize any of this stuff. Don't criticize the hot girl and don't criticize the bear fucking. Just let it be, you know?
Yeah, if it's there, it's there. Like, again, like things find, things are meant for certain audiences and certain things. So I think, like, if it's working, then why are you going, why is everybody coming down on it? But again, I think when it comes to Sony, they have had a history, and they've even mm-hmm. said this, in public before, that even despite the rating, they will adjust, they will, ask for edits beyond what was there. And that's stuff that affected, a game like DMC, if you remember the whole, they put that, the lens flare on Trisha's butt.
Yes.
Even though it wasn't
DMC5.
Even though it wasn't anything that was explicit, for some reason she had to have a lens flare. And then the proof of it was in the pudding when you literally looked at it on Xbox or PC and you noticed it wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Sony has a history of doing this, so I don't blame people for thinking it was them.
They've had a history of doing this for a very long time, but there was a point where they didn't do it, it was like older games in the PlayStation 1 era, but like then you look at the God of War era and they sort of left that one alone, right? You had all kinds of full, nudity in that one.
Well, the old ones and the new ones, Kratos doesn't have sex anymore.
The new ones are very more, much more modest,
Yet there's a shit ton of violence. Isn't that, again, going back to the whole Western thing, nobody bats an eye over some motherfuckers getting their arms ripped off,
Yep.
But if you saw a nipple, hold up, bro. What is that nipple,
I mean, there are characters in the original God of War that they what was it, the three sisters in God of War three, right? They're just topless.
Yeah, Kratos was getting it in every single one of those games,
Yep.
That's how it was.
I guess Sony's better than that now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Aphrodite showing off. Very, by the way, two very interesting depictions. Aphrodite from God of War and then Aphrodite from Hades, which was okay. She's ass naked. That's fine. They were okay with that, But no, it's evil. Holy, can't be having that. Very interesting. By the way, one Japanese character that got away with it, though, Manny? Lady D. They were okay with that.
Well, she's
fully covered, but
she's literally wearing 1920s outfits, so it's like there's nothing showing much.
Yeah, no, but they liked her. It's like, oh, mama, step on me. First of all, you know what I'm saying, Carlos?
It was an openly acceptable lust character.
Mm-hmm, safe horny. Yeah, safe horny, as they call it. Very interesting. You even had some dudes going, oh, tie my bitch ass down. You're a man? You're calling yourself that, bro? Really?
Well, the thing is, it's like, okay, yeah, you can like big ladies. That's fine. But I feel like, there's definitely a weird sort of like, how is that okay? Right?
My thing is, if you like that, cool. But let people enjoy other shit. I'm not saying this about you. I'm saying in general. I'm like, if you should be okay with all of this stuff or be against it all. Be consistent,
Here's the thing. It's like objectification is kind of like wouldn't that be considered objectification as well?
Yes, it would.
So it's like, what, it's okay because she's wearing a full evening gown, a fluffy evening gown. And that's the difference. It's the same thing. I see sometimes I see some reviewers doing that. but they're of the same sex as the people that they're reviewing, doing reviews of, which I also find very fascinating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. So it's okay for the same sex to ogle and, you know, and say some objectifying things about certain characters.
Yeah, I know. You saw plenty of men going, oh, I want her to step on me.
No, but I mean, there's, you know, when we're talking about the situation with the Hades character.
Oh, yeah.
The person saying these things wasn't, the same sex as the, was the same sex as the character that was in the game. So is that okay that if you're the same sex, you could totally, objectify a character? You know, I feel like if it's no objectification, it should be the same across the board. People shouldn't say anything.
I agree.
But, you know, it's okay for some and not for others.
Mm-hmm. And that's why people are upset about this stuff. Rightfully so. Be consistent. You know, that's all people are asking for. Be consistent. Right, man. Oh, what's up? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Oh, yeah, Philly Fred, you already know, man. When it comes to PC, get ready. Those mods, bruh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
There's going to be a little bit more to Eve on the PC.
She's going to be less, let's just, is ass naked, yeah. You know? Oh, nude mods. All right, man. And the last question of the night. Which Blade, this is from Alex M., which Blade exclusive will be more successful in 2024, Hell or Stellar? I like this question. I like the way you phrase that.
Hell or Stellar? I mean,
Stellar Blade is going to sell more than Hellblade because Hellblade is not going to sell because it's on Game Pass, as we've talked about on the Thursday show.
That's what we were talking about on the Thursday show. Yeah, like that's the one caveat when it comes to, you know, that. It's like, okay, it's got on Game Pass. So is anybody going to buy it? Because that's the thing that makes money. Buying the game. I could see, here's the thing. I could see if Game Pass was like everybody was in it. Like, in other words, you know, as soon as they release a game, everybody jumps on it. But they've even said it in their financial reports. It hasn't really gone up or down.
Yeah, it's stagnated. The same, yeah, it's stagnated. Yeah, go ahead, Rich. Rich, go ahead. Then you go, Carlos.
I just would like to make a comment and say that Hellblade 2 will be successful in at least one category, and that is engagements, because that's the only stuff that Microsoft reports on now with Xbox. We had so many people playing this game. No number, no talk about profits, nothing. So it will be successful, but I agree 1,000%. Stellar Blade definitely is more successful and is going to make more money. Because we even saw that was one on that pre-order list. That was on the pre-order list for PS5 before it even came out. So I can only imagine it's gonna sell more.
Yeah, even that list we talked about, it was already like number six or something on there. So, you know,
yeah,
but yeah. So yeah, I think it's. I mean, that's pretty obvious right there. Hellblade is stuck on Xbox Game Pass. So, you know, yeah, like you said, rich engagement. You know.
Well, if the current way that Xbox games are going, it's probably not going to be locked on there exclusively for long, especially with how well Hi-Fi Rush, what was the last one? I don't think that last one did very well, right?
That was
the Immortals of Avium or whatever it's called. I can't remember.
Wait, what? Okay, hold on. The games that came out were Grounded, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and
big question mark, the game
that Pentiment.
There we go.
Yeah.
Manny just stole my answer. I mean, it's obviously Stellar Blade for the first couple of months, but next year when Hellblade 2 comes out for PlayStation, it's going to surpass that. Yeah. and then a year later when this comes out to Stellar Blade comes out to, is it PC day and date?
Not Stellar Blade. PS5 right now, yeah.
So it will be. So that's when that'll catch up. So it'll be a fun race.
Okay.
That's am I the one that feels like old men yelling or arguing over DVD sales at this point?
Okay. I mean, that's what gamers still want to talk about, man. You know?
No, I just feel like, modern day, like, the metric of physical game sales is just, it's so antiquated, it's so outdated. It was never really that good either, because like game sale prices fluctuated, things went on sale, buy one, get one deals came and went. Like big box retailers were wildly inconsistent with their pricing overall. To us, it made sense. New game came out, new game $70. Then 2 months later, new game $35. Like, to us, it made sense, but like market wise, wildly inconsistent on the price market. So like over the life of the game, copies sold wasn't an indication of success because they could have all been sold when the game was reduced down to $7. So like it was never a great metric to begin with. So I don't understand why it's the holy grail metric now. I'm not saying that we have a good one. I'm just like, man, I just feel like it's saying like, oh, full price discs sold or like copies downloaded. I don't know, man. Like it just, I feel like it's quickly going the way of the dinosaur.
But the thing is, like, game sales are easy to understand. It's like, this game sold 5 million copies. That's a success. You know what I mean? It's simple.
Yeah, but in a world where we're starting to have streaming services, it doesn't matter or make sense anymore.
Yeah. So do you think it's like comparing apples to oranges with regard to PlayStation? Because PlayStation is still about game sales and Xbox is still about engagement. So you think it's like an unfair comparison?
I think it's getting there. I think that right now it's starting to be a weird metric, and every year it's going to get weirder. Right now I think it still technically works, but barely. And like that's the problem. Like, ooh, you can use game sales kind of to measure, but like, will we be able to tell with Hellblade? No. And yeah. Is it fair to be like, well, it sold lower game sales, so it made less money? Like, also, no. I mean, you can do that, but it's also honestly blatant fanboyism. Like, we're not talking about, like, that's not what they're talking about in the boardroom. That's not what they're talking about in the executive offices deciding what the plans for the Xbox are going to be next. They don't care about that you saw that it technically sold more copies and that was ammunition for a fanboy, you know, flame war. Like, it's, they don't really care about that. What they care about is money, what's making money, and they have the bottom line for that. And again, like it's maybe I'm just one of those people that give other people too much credit, but I'm like, man, there are people way smarter than me who spend millions of dollars trying to figure out the direction this goes, and they have access to all the information. So while I think they can do some tremendously stupid things, I also think they have access to kind of all the information. And I don't know, man. I guess that's it. I don't have a lot to say other than I think that it's an ancient metric that doesn't really show a true picture. And I don't think there's a better one right now, which is why like my whole argument is kind of like on shaky legs. Like, well, what should we do? I don't fucking know. I'm just saying this one ain't working all that well. And the more games that come out from Xbox, the less it's going to fucking matter. And one of these days, fucking if and when we're in that one in a million Doctor Strange multiverse, that Xbox comes out with a true, true banger, then the whole metric is going to get thrown out the window. And I don't know if I necessarily, me personally, want to wait until that day happens to change my mental mindset. And that's really all I'm saying. Like, hey, I should probably prepare myself for like the future to happen instead of just kind of, you know, learning how to use it this way. And maybe people are probably going to take that to think that that's somehow a fan. I'm an Xbox fanboy because I don't believe, like, I do believe that Sony is selling more of literally everything than Xbox. So like, if we can nip that in the bud, that'd be fucking great. But also, like, to even those people that would argue with that, like, do you really think that straight game sales is going to continue to be a usable metric? Do you look at things like Netflix and Hulu and go, that's never going to happen to video games? Like, do you think video games are, like, maybe you're right, if that is there. Maybe there's something that will keep it from following the way that other media has also went. But to me, the writing's on the wall, right? Like, Xbox and PlayStation and eventually even Nintendo are going to kind of follow towards this. Either they have their own platform that gives away stuff, or they have a subscription service where they do stuff, or they are a premium add-on with another subscription service, and as devices continue to get smarter, especially TVs, eventually they may each just be an app on your TV, right? Like, I think that's the future. I think the idea of paying $70 for a video game that I've never played, like, ooh, it better be a banger, and it better be, like, well-respected, peer-reviewed, good reviews without a weird embargo. Like I just paid for Dragon's Dogma. I do buy video games still, but just so much less. But I enjoy them so much more. Like it, I honestly believe, like, from the man who's been there and come back, like, oh man, like I love what this has done for my hobby. Brilliant. I love it. There's a whole other side. It doesn't have to be this way. Listen to Brian. He is the Messiah. All right. Just it's there's a whole different way of to play video games. And I think that things like engagement in a service when everybody can go in, like oh, look, everybody wants to play Monster Hunter World together. That's on the service. What else is on that service? A game each and everybody likes, but not the same game for everybody. That's fine. Keeps them all subscribed to the service. How do you monetize that? How do you put value on that? You could say, oh, I've kept two people for 2 months, with engagement. But, like, is it really that simple? Is it really? Can you really boil it down to that? Am I the crazy one here? You know what I mean?
Like, here's the thing. I think what you're talking about is, and I've said that I agree with that. I think there will be a future when kids look back and they're going to be like, wait, you paid individually for games? You bought a box for that? I think that will be a future. But I think for the immediate future, which is with the next 4 years and the current status of things, I think game sales are important. Because think about it, two out of the three main, the big three still use game sales as their metric. Sony and Nintendo still use that as a metric. With Xbox, it's just, trust me, bro, engagement's up. We don't have an objective way of seeing how well their games are doing. So I think for the current moment, yes, it is important. Yeah, there is going to be some future, where it's not going to be important anymore. But I don't think we should just discount game sales right now. I think for the moment, it's this generation, next generation especially, it will still be an important metric that Nintendo and Sony will absolutely use.
I don't think we should discount it now.
And it's obvious game sales are important to them, otherwise they wouldn't be putting their so-called exclusives onto the competitors' consoles where things are selling.
I'm not saying to like not look at game sales. I'm just saying that like I'm starting to look at other things as well, and like Xbox muddies the waters, makes it real fucking difficult. But I don't think that you can just straight look at, like, if a game comes out on Game Pass and it's wildly successful, it may still not show a lot of sales. It could show a lot of subscription. It could show a boost in subscription to Microsoft. It could make them millions of dollars, and we could see that it didn't do dick. So I'm just saying it's inaccurate. I'm not saying we should move to another metric. The market isn't there yet.
I think definitely during those releases, right, when those games came to the Game Pass, and then let's just say for the sake of conversation, the subscriptions doubled because these games were on there, like we thought Starfield was going to cause was going to balloon their service.
It didn't.
But it really didn't do anything. But I mean, and I think that's what we're hoping to happen by having a lot of these big titles on there. But I think it's like, again, like even like their financial said, they just sort of reached who they're going to reach, at least for now. So it's like, okay, what do? We got to make this thing profitable. Obviously, we're keeping the lights on with having consistent subscribers, but we need to expand that.
Yeah, well, they need to increase their market share. They need to sell more goddamn console. They need to do that by making a banger fucking game that moves consoles. So just the way is clear. They just haven't been able to fucking do it yet.
Yeah. So again, console sales, what were they, down 23% this last quarter? Like, and there's a reason why. Like we always keep saying, where are the games at? If you have games, people will come.
Microsoft, they just need a banger. It's really
bangers at this point. Well,
and honestly, I don't think this late in the console generation, even one or several bangers, like they would help to help redeem the reputation for the next time console, generations refresh. But there's again, they find themselves in a situation where it's too late to save this generation. You can start investing towards next generation. Thank God you have Microsoft's money behind you. Like if you didn't have trust fund money, this would be over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we said that. You know what's funny? literally at the end of last generation, I said the same thing you just said, Brett. The last generation, I said the exact same thing, almost verbatim. I said, it is too late for Microsoft to turn things around this generation, but maybe next generation it could do it. I literally said, there's a Tony's take where I literally say this. Holy shit. That blew me away. Like, wow. It's like, Microsoft, you got to get your shit together with Xbox. You know, that's two generations in a row now, you know?
Yep. It's not doing great.
By the way, I got to bring this up, man, because when you said Brian was the Messiah, I'm like, Lisan al-Gaib, you know? Oh, man. Anybody else want to chime in on this? I mean, Celebrate's going to sell more copies. You already know. I think that's pretty obvious.
I have a question. What if it doesn't? What if Hellblade sells more?
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, all right, because, sure.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be the first time that the majority of this show were wrong on something.
Yeah.
And to kind of like pass the bat back to Brett, the Switch.
Yeah, oh yeah, we were wrong about that. But our batting average is better than a lot of these other insiders.
Oh, definitely.
But Brian, I will say this though. to give you credit, Hellblade, the only way I could see Hellblade selling more is when it comes to PlayStation.
Uh-oh. It's coming out on PC at the same time. So possibly.
Yeah. That could help. Yeah, that could help. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
The other point I was going to say to go to what Brian said, Hellblade is also cheaper. The game, I think, is $50, whereas Stellar Blade is $70. So
$70, yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. So we'll see. But, you know, Hellblade ain't got them titties, you know?
Okay, Hellblade is on Steam, so
that could help.
It is a possibility.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot about the Steam aspect. No, you're right. This could be a closer match than we thought, people. You know, because there is at least an avenue to buy the game individually, you know? Not just tethered to a subscription service that where Microsoft just has to tell us, trust us, bro. You know, there's no independent way of verifying Microsoft's claims, you know? So, Brian, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good point, you know? Look at Helldivers, right? That game's selling a lot more on Steam than it is on PlayStation.
Helldivers!
Yeah. All right, man, that's going to do it for us. Another good show. Rich, what's going on with the Coalition, man?
Yeah, so currently our award-winning show, I Am Negan, is on a bit of a hiatus because there is no Walking Dead show yet. But stay tuned because I'm pretty sure there will be a show coming back sometime this summer.
Shit.
Aside from that, we have a couple of different reviews we are working on that will be on the website later this week. So I would say stay tuned for that. And lastly, for those that do still watch and enjoy wrestling, we have been recording a couple of episodes of WrestleCast because WWE had a draft. They have their own version of a draft, like the NFL, that's happening. It happened, night one happened on Friday, and the night two is happening tomorrow. So we may be talking about that, but we do have a video up now for night one, which we covered on Friday, myself and Dana. So if you are interested in wrestling, check that out. But otherwise, for all your gaming stuff, stay tuned. We got a lot of stuff coming to the website this upcoming week.
There you go, man. And like I said on the Thursday show, I love the fact that since a lot of our, you know, obviously we used to go, you know, do we have anything to plug? Most of the things we plugged were on the Coalition. So now it's just easier for me to go, Rich, what's going on with the Coalition? You know, because we're probably going to be involved in some way and capacity, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So good stuff, man. Good stuff. But yeah, do we have anything else to plug, man? I know you can't talk about. Actually, plug the thing you posted on Twitter. That thing is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, so I just announced. Well, I just got the comp copies from DC Comics, and yes, yeah, so there's the DC Spring Breakout, which is going to be out on April 30th. I am doing some color duties with a good friend of mine for a long time. This is actually her first gig at DC Comics. So yeah, that should be out on April the 30th. So if you go on to your comic apps or if you go to your comic store, you should be able to find it. There's a lot of great artists on there.
Yeah, Barry Brady goes, is Lucha Underground back yet? Asking for Adam. I don't think that's back then.
Lucha Underground. That was, you know, the last week there was a bunch of clowns burning a bunch of hookers.
they was throwing midgets. You know,
they did everything in that show.
They really did. That was crazy. Yo, they're killing people. Like, what's going on with this? Yeah. Yo, like, he died.
This is the only show where they kill people.
Oh, man. Adam, man. Oh, character, you know?
Miss Adam, man.
Yeah, we do, man. Shout out to Adam all day, every day, you know? All right, man. Throwdown, we are done, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. YouTube, obviously, hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified when our premieres go live. And obviously, join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Even though this week, the conversation has been a little bit of light because motherfuckers are gaming. J-Shep tonight was like, yo, it's been dead today. What happened? And then Kishak's like, we gaming, son. So shout out to the Discord crew, you know. Anyway, Throwdown, we are on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, that's two words, Throwdown Show. And throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
So you told us how much it costs for you to talk, but how much does it cost for you to shut up?
Damn! All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.